I hate to be the guy who got to bear this bad news, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your talent, and you're wasting your gifts, and you're wasting all your valuables, okay? And I'm going to give you three main points in this podcast or this episode about how exactly you are doing that, okay? Really quick, there's a story, and I spoke about this briefly on Instagram a while back, but I decided that I had said I was going to make a full episode of this. And it's actually my second time recording this because there's more insight that I've gotten. I first recorded this back in October, this episode, and I'm actually re-recording it today. So this is hot off the press. And basically, it's talking about in Matthew chapter 25, 14 through 30, about the parable of the talents. And basically what was going on in that scripture, or that story. And I like to give these biblical stories because it applies back to our everyday, and not to have Bible study or make it sound like I'm some theologian or anything, but it's just I like the stories that come from it, because whether they're true or not, they are constant in our today society and the way that we act and way that we see things. Okay, so really quick, the parable of the talents basically was talking about how God gave three people different talents, right? And he told them to go into the marketplace, invest it, and bring it back. And where these three people, two of the three people did exactly just that. He gave one guy five talents or something like that, and he told him go back into the marketplace, invest it, bring it back. And that's exactly what he did. And God said, here's more. I'm going to double it. I'm going to expand you. Job well done, my good and faithful servant. Here's more. Okay. The next guy, he gives him two talents. He does exactly that. Job well done, my good and faithful servant. Here's more. The final person he gave a talent to, he gave him one talent. And he said, go out and invest this. Bring it back. And we're going to multiply you. The holdup with that particular person was this, was three things. One, and I don't know what exactly which one it was, but I'm pretty sure it had to deal with one of these three things. Comparison. Thinking that they don't have enough. And feeling like you don't know exactly what to do with what you have. And that's where he went wrong at. And so in today's society, which we got to understand, let me go back and say this too. What happened was God took the talent away. Not only did he take the talent away, but he cursed him and gave that talent to somebody, to the person who had more. And they did what they were supposed to do with it and made more of it. And so what I'm telling you right now is the fact that you're sitting on your talent, which in the old days, the talent was gold. He gave them gold. He gave one guy a little piece of gold and said, hey, make this. And he had gold and still felt like he didn't have enough. He didn't have anything that was valuable. And that's the problem, that a lot of times what we feel like is that we don't think, not only do we not think that we don't have enough, we feel like what we have is not valuable enough. We feel like, well, who's going to listen to me? Who's going to buy what I have? Who's going to do all these things? And we create these spaces in our mind of that there's nobody out there for what I have to offer. And I want to tell you that there is somebody, there's a buyer for everything on this earth. Now, how many buyers? I don't know. I can't answer that for you, but there is a buyer, and there's more than one buyer for what you have to offer. And I like to use this analogy or comparison, but Soulja Boy, right? When Soulja Boy was rapping, and who would have known that Soulja Boy would have became what Soulja Boy became? I don't want to call it an inferior product, because we all love the music that he's produced, but it's not in comparison to what we were like to say a Jay-Z or 50 Cent back in the day, Snoop Dogg, Drake, Kendrick Lamar, and the rest of these new guys that we listening to nowadays, it just doesn't compare. But he's created a product and that we bought into that's made room for him. So there's a proverb, 18:16, it says your gift will make room for you. And that's exactly what your gift, your talent is. Your gift, your talent is what you're able to do. Your talent is valuable. Your gift is valuable. Your gift is able to go into the marketplace and make room for you, but you're too scared. You're sitting on Instagram comparing where you're at to somebody who's 4 and 5 years down the road, but you're not comparing it to when they first got started. So you're not comparing on the same level. You're comparing where you started to someone who's already taken off and went far. And you're looking at yourself and saying, well, I can't do nothing with this. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Just start. That's the whole point. It's just start. I always said this to my wife, and because sometimes she's like, well, how are we going to do this? I'm like, well, look, God told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. And he has to make provision. If it's his vision for me to do it, he has to provide the provision for me to get it done. And every single time that happens, that's when God does something crazy for us. Every single time. Because at that point, I'm getting out the way and allowing room for the supernatural to happen. Because this is the thing too. I've created this process. It's called the what, how, and when process of God. Okay. And it's, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? And when do you want me to do it? Okay. And let me break that down. The messed up part about that whole process is that there's three spaces where we can go wrong. Okay. There's three spaces. The what is where people get stuck at from the get-go. God, what is it that you want me to do? Some of y'all not even asking God exactly what you want me to do. And if you are, you're not really, you're not pursuing it because you're not sure of how you should do it. But then that's the other thing too. So you find out the what, but then you get stuck in the what because now you're like, well, how do I do it? So you don't go back and ask that part. What is it? How do you want me to go about this? What is the marketing process behind this? And this isn't like some scriptural stuff where you find the scriptures. No, it's going to send you templates. So send you people across your path. Go on YouTube. Go on different. Read a book about exactly what you're trying to accomplish. Go on Upwork. Go on. It's another one called Free. I forgot the other one name, but go on. I like Upwork personally. Fiverr, that's what it's called. And find out people who've already done what you are doing in some capacity, right? It may not be the exact way, but it's in the realm or the industry of what you're doing. And the further and further you go into that rabbit hole of finding exactly how, you will find more and more information of how to get it done, what it's going to take, and where do you start at. You know, and don't look at, well, I need a red camera and I need this and a third. No, you don't need that. You need for where you're at. You need to start where you're at to go where you want to go. And as you go, the process becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, which means that you need more provision and which will be provided to you as you go. You know, I could have, even with this podcast, I could have sat here and said, man, I don't have... with some of these other podcasts, they got offices and buildings and da 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 da. No, I'm starting with what I have. It's called the bootstrap. I'm gonna make a whole nother episode about bootstrapping. But the bootstrap process is basically you just starting with what you have. I'm the guy in the parable with the one talent. I got a little bit, and I'm gonna take my little bit and I'm gonna go and invest it. And I'm gonna bring it back, and God's gonna say, Hey man, I see you doing what you're doing. Here's more. Here's more. Everything that, you know, one thing that I'm very, very grateful for is the fact that there's been a lot of things that I've done well in, but I got a story about I don't get stuck in the what. I get stuck. I don't even get stuck in the how. I get stuck in the when. And the when play, the when part is when exactly God wants you to do something. I move extremely fast. I mean, like, super duper fast. Like, my mountain in my life is how fast I move. And a lot of times I just need to just slow down, right? Like, I'll have an idea and I'll have a website up in 3 weeks. Business totally done. I'm literally, the business, I'm waiting for documents from the state and all that stuff to move forward. Like, that's how fast I move. And sometimes God is just like, dude, just wait on me. Just wait on me. Be patient. You're moving too fast. My issue is I move so fast. And that's one of the reasons why I started meditating, so I could, it could slow me down. And I'm going to give you a story. So back in 2013, somewhere around those lines. No, it was 14, 15. I had paid off my charger, and I had paid off for a couple years, and I decided, you know, I'm really just really pushing this web design company. I need to move. Like, I got to get this thing going for real. I need to make six figures, by myself. At that time, I was doing like maybe 60, 70,000, maybe 80,000. I'm just like, I have some good months and then it'll just be all bad, right? And I was like, you know what my problem is? It's marketing. I'm not marketing enough. I'm not putting myself in front of people enough. And I sold my charger for $6,000 and I put all the money into marketing. And I literally made $0. And I felt so stupid. I felt so stupid. I felt just very low. I can't even think of the words. I just felt very, very low. And at the time, it was me and Ashley. We had both boys at that time. We had both Carter and Connor. And I just felt extremely low. I couldn't believe that I made this type of mistake with my family. So now we're down to one car, and I just couldn't believe that this thing just crashed and burned. And that thing shot me into meditating, because I was like, man, I got to figure out a way. And I started meditating. And when I learned how to meditate, God had said to me, he said, well, your success is not here right now. It's in Detroit. You know what I did? Immediately started packing up. That was like December. By April, our lease was up in May or something like that. By April, we were in Detroit, 2016. We were in Detroit, 2016. And I had made a 3-year plan to create some success in Detroit. And because God had already told me that my success was in Detroit, I immediately was obedient to it. I got the family to Detroit. We had our house set up. We were great. We were doing good. Immediately, the business took off within like 5 months. I had an office downtown. Things were going great, man. Things were going good. And I just kept my meditation going. But then I started seeing that same old habit of me just moving so fast, just doing things. And some things were good. Some things were some of my fast moves were good moves, and some of those moves were bad. But I always say you got to be the first to get to it, and and I didn't realize just how fast of a person I was moving. And again, you're thinking that because you're moving this fast, because you're hearing that you're being obedient, you're still not being obedient. because I never asked the third question of when should I do this? And some of y'all move too slow and you need to move faster. And it's all about just being honest where you at and who you are at that moment. I'm a fast mover, so that obviously I need to slow down so God can have his space. If you're a slow mover, maybe you need to catch up to where God is at so that you can feel your abundance kicking in from the moves of just moving just a little bit quicker. If you don't ask any questions, maybe you need to ask God, what is it that you want me to do? You haven't even asked that question. You haven't even started that yet. Ask, what is it that I need to do? How do I need to do this? And I just believe when God gives you a vision, he's responsible for the provision. And so, and I honestly and I firmly believe that God just wants to be a part of your decision making of how you're doing this. He created you to do what you are able to do. You just have to go out and actually do it. And that's where we get stuck at. We get stuck in the part of just doing. We get stuck in the place of just saying the words. Oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But you haven't. There's no space. So that's why we have to, one, get out the place of comparison. Stop looking at what everybody else is doing. Stop looking at what anybody else is doing and how they're doing it and all the different things. And I'm going to give you guys some takeaways that I believe is going to be very helpful for you in the future for what you're trying to accomplish. Okay. So one, these are the first steps. After you ask all these questions and you got your answers, I want you to take a good look at the way you present your product, your presentation. So that goes down to if you have an actual product, the wrapping on it, the packaging on it, the material that you're using, all of these things, and just ask, is would I buy this? Not not just you, but is this a product that's actually needed in the marketplace right now? Look at your location. If you're marketing locally, look at the people who will need this and why they would need that. And I know a lot of people have like clothing lines and all that stuff. I'm gonna break down that where that could fall into as well, and how you can figure out what's best to go forward with that. Okay, you gotta think about your website. If your target audience, let me go back to that. The next spot is your target audience. You need to know how your target audience speaks, how they handle decision-making. One of the things with web design was I took my business, one of the key changeovers for my business was one of the logo. Okay, that was a big change, but then also documentation. I wanted to attract more higher paying web design clients. And the way that I did that was I created designs that spoke directly to that type of person. I know that if you're asking for $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 for a website, what is it that they need to have in order to make a decision? And most of those people who are making that type of money went to school, or they are seasoned entrepreneurs. And one of the things that I know they need is bullet points. They need to be able to see what they're getting ready to purchase before they actually purchase it. It's not just about price. It's about the value added. Okay. So they don't mind spending as long as they can see and read the value that they're getting for the amount of money that they're getting ready to spend, they will spend it. And also I understand the habits. How do they spend their money? Do they make a quick decision? Is it today? Is it right now? No, they wait a couple weeks or maybe a month. Give or take, but they don't make decisions that day. And so when I run into people who are getting ready to make a decision that moment, I immediately know that's not my customer, because that's not my customer's behavior. Eventually down the line, they gonna end up saying something or needing something, gonna be really needing me. And I just know it. That's just how it works in my industry, because I understand the behavior of those type of customers. So you want to be able to identify the behavior. You want to identify the needs of your customer. And therefore, when you start in those spaces, you're now getting ready to create what is called a business process. And so when you're creating the process, you're creating the process of what's the entrance of a customer to the exit of a customer. And when you figure that out, now you have an actually good business. You're going to have, okay, you're not really in business until you're making money, but you have a good business process that's going to allow you to make money and continuously repeat that same process over and over again. People think business is fun. Sometimes excuse my French, it's shit boring sometimes because you're doing the same old thing. But you gotta be happy with the boring process, because sometimes creating new and new and new and new can be a little tough too. Sprite has been using the same green can for the last 100 years. I don't know how long they've been around, but for a long time, Sprite been using that same green can. One is because people don't like change. They don't like to see different things all the time. They want to be able to recognize it from the jump, right there in that spot. They want to be able to see if it's green, let it stay green. Don't let it move. And that's why you got to create those spaces for your customers to be able to live in. Stop designing for you. Start designing for the customer that you want. Okay. And that's a part of the marketing process. And then when it comes to your marketing process, email, creating a great email list, getting your social media together. Obviously your website, your Google Ads, all those things. Start thinking about those spaces. How what's the plan? And don't do everything at one time. Start with one pocket of the marketing process and get that pocket going. Once that pocket is going, you can automate that process. Then you can move on to the next pocket of marketing. Okay. And even your products, take one of those services, right? If we can look at, I'll say this, for example, Game Truck, right? With the Game Truck, there's multiple different services. One, we service to corporate individuals, corporate companies, not individuals, corporate companies, and we market to organizations, then we market to residential birthdays. Our goal for the first year was just do birthdays, get the birthdays cracking. So the weekends, let's get the weekends jumping. There has not been not one weekend this year that we were off. Not one. I had to take a weekend off so I could be with my family. But that people were still calling saying, hey, is it this weekend is blocked? Is there a reason? Can we? No, you can't. But so this year, 2025, now we got that going. Now we're going to focus on, and we got the Google Ads going. Now we're going to focus on social media. That's our next focus. What is the goal with social media? Now we're going to get up to at least 2,000 followers. That's my goal. I'm going to get to 2,000 followers with social media. Have a good pipeline of another flow of people trying to book through social media. I'm just taking one thing at a time and focusing on it. And then we go on to the next. Once we find that it's successful, that the process that we're creating works, we go on to the next thing. Some of us are trying to do everything at one time. Focus on one thing and watch it flourish. You know, one of my mentors, Dan Martell, he says, man, focus on one thing and see how it grows. And that's exactly my thought process. Just what you focus on, that will grow. He has an acronym for focus, and I just can't think of it right now, but just take that one part, focus on it for a few months, set a goal for it, and watch it go. One of our goals, like I said, one of our goals was Google reviews. We're at over 100 plus five-star reviews right now on Google reviews. That was a huge goal. The other part was collecting 1,000 subscribers. We have over 1,000 subscribers. Some of those things were simultaneously we could do all together. One was marketing through Google Ads, which led people into the front of the website, which then we collected the emails, right? That was automated, right? And then after each party we had, the mother, maybe 5 or 10 minutes before the party ended, we have them scan the QR code and make a review right there. Why? Because once that party is over, now she's focused on those kids. The mama or the dad is focused on those kids, and they don't have the time to go back and make a review. But at that time, that small window, when there's nothing she has to do, she's just waiting for them to get off, she can make a review or he can make a review for you right there on the spot. Okay? The next thing is this. Make sure your business serves people. Okay? If your business is not in the place of wanting or to help people, it's going to be hard for it to really grow. You have to fix an issue for people in order for your business to prosper. Find a need that people have. Find a need. I know most businesses that we create are marketed to women. One, this is the thing too. I know women love convenience. So we had a business, a delivery service in Detroit, a cannabis delivery service in Detroit that was marketed to women, older women. One, I knew they didn't want to go to dispensaries. They didn't want to be seen. Even though their whole family, and nieces and nephews, everybody know they smoke. We created something that was marketed to older women where they can go on a website, order, and it get delivered right to their house. Okay? Did tremendously well. Men don't pay for convenience. We go to the pizza. The wife says she's ordering pizza, and you say, okay, I'm about to go pick it up. She's like, no, I'm going to deliver. No, I'm about to go pick it up. We ain't spending that $5 to go pick it up. For it to get delivered, I'm about to go to the store and get it right now. Same thing, my wife loves Instacart. Stop the Instacart. I'm going to Costco. Costco is one of my favorite places, by the way. Just FYI, I love Costco. I can window shop at Costco. I can't do that everywhere, but I'm just getting older. Don't judge me, okay? Here we go. This is the last and final tip, okay? Your business has to fall in one of these three categories. It can be all. If you can make a business that can do it all. But it has to fall in one of these three categories. Here we go. Emotional purchase, exclusivity, or price. And I'm going to break these three down really quick. Emotional purchase is basically when you have a product or a service that tugs at the heart of the person that's buying it, right? I'm going to give you an example with the game truck. The game truck is an emotional purchase. Why? Because the mother wants to give their child a good birthday experience. It's all about her emotions. Yeah, it's about the kid, but it's all about their emotion and making sure that their child feels happy on their special day. Okay. Other thing is about that is she wants to make sure that that they're safe, that they know where they're at all in one place. Versus going to an arcade, they rent the truck and it comes straight to their home, parked right in front of their house or in their driveway. And she knows exactly where all her kids that she has, that she's hosting, is at one time. Okay. So it provides a level of security. And then on top of that, the emotional part is it's clean. It's we make sure that it's clean, that it smells good, that it's heat, or if it's hot, that it's air conditioned on, and that everything that her child wants is on there. One of the reasons, and that we show up on time. Emotional purchase, okay? Exclusivity. So exclusivity is like things that you just can't get, right? You just can't go to the store and just get it immediately. You may have to wait. You got to get on a waiting list. One example of that is like the Tesla Cybertruck, right? It's exclusive right now because a lot of the it's not available. They can't make it fast enough for the amount of people that want it. And so when you create a product that people, there's more demand on it than you have available, then you run into a space of exclusivity, which then turns into a price thing. Some people will pay 30, 40, 50%, maybe 100% over sticker price just to say that they paid it and that they got it. Okay. So with price is it price goes two ways. Okay. Either you're the cheapest or you cost the most. Okay. And people pride themselves on spending a lot of money on certain things. Kanye West said it. He says, I spent a lot of money just to be like, nigga, you ain't up on this or something like that. I'll figure it out. But it goes into that place of trying to stunt a little bit. And so that if you have to fall in those three categories, emotional, exclusivity, and price. Price goes cheap. You're the cheapest, so people want to buy from you. You're the most expensive, so people want to be like, I spent $100 on this just to be like, nigga, you ain't up on this. You got that spot. Then exclusivity is you can't have this. You know, only the best got this. You ain't this type of person. You get into that spot. And then emotional. This tugs at my heart. This feels good. I like this. There we go. Guys, stop wasting your talent. Be great. Know that you're valuable. Know that you have a valuable asset. You can make money off of it. Let's take it to the market. Peace.